Got the Comic Conversations podcast and site. They do a fantastic job talking about comic books.
And we did a show with the Comic Conversation guys, and highly recommend that podcast if you're into comics.
I really love Marvel.
Comic Conversations.
It's awesome.
With your host,
the wickedly talented
Fat Man.
When life gives you lemons, don't make lemonade.
Yeah.
Make life take the lemons back.
Yeah.
Get mad.
Yeah.
I don't want your damn lemons. What am I supposed to do with these?
Yeah, take the lemons.
Luro. Oh! And Marvel 2K.
I couldn't resist Marvel. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Fat Man, that is not actually the drop I wanted.
That is not the drop you want? I thought you said you wanted...
No.
Oh, okay.
I wanted Sylvester Stallone saying, I am the...
See, I remember when we did the Dazza show, you were offended that I used that drop. So I was like, well...
I was, but since what... But let me explain. Okay. Since this was a fake Judge Dredd this week,
mm-hmm.
I thought having the most famous fake Judge Dredd...
It would have been fitting?
Yes. But I didn't explain that to you, so well, my bad.
When we do our review, when the fake said Judge Reg pops up, I will in fact play the drop.
Spoilers.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, everybody. This is Fat Man. You're listening to a brand new episode of Comic Conversations. And as always, I am joined by my co-hosts, Luro and Marvel2K. Luro, how are you doing this fine evening?
Good.
And Marvel2K.
I'm good.
All right, let's go into our first segment, news. Okay, we still have some fallout from San Diego Comic-Con last week. Let's see what we have. Actually, I got ahead of myself there. Let's go our biggest story. We had this come out last week, but we thought there was so much San Diego Comic-Con news that we should try to postpone it for this week. So this week we're going to open with comic book sales figures for June 2015.
A lot of comics did well.
Yes, especially Secret Wars. Secret Wars, and I think, let's see, I'm pulling it up right now as we speak. I know you have it already pulled up, Marvel. Secret Wars did 218,000.
Yeah. Is that good?
Yes, very
218?
Good.
218? For number three? That's actually really good. It means there's demand.
Exactly. It's like it's dipped, but it hasn't dipped all that much. And considering it's an event, that speaks kind of volumes on the quality of Secret Wars. But then also the scope too, I guess, now that I think about it, cause you're literally like blowing up the entire continuity prior to this, so.
It's the first time Marvel's ever done this.
Yeah, you can't no sell it. You can't choose to ignore Secret Wars. It is in fact the 800 pound gorilla in the room.
Well, it's also impossible to ignore because every single book in the Marvel line is tying in.
Well, that's what I meant, yeah.
Yeah.
Right,
that Renew Your Vows did well too.
Mm-hmm.
Told you that was good.
And
203,000.
Surprise, surprise, guess what's still in the top five?
Star Wars.
So many Star Wars.
And then Justice League of America number one.
Good for Hitch.
Yeah, $6 book that is, by the
way.
Yeah.
It was double-sized, I think.
Yeah, it had all those big splashes, double-played. Yeah,
and sense. Then Batman 41.
Nice.
That was the first new Batman, the suit.
That was the and one then, I liked. That was the one story of this new Batman I liked. I think there's been two issues since then. I haven't much cared for either.
And then Thor's number one.
Awesome. Who knew Thor was such a big draw in 2015?
Darth Vader number six.
Mm-hmm.
X-Men 92 number one.
People are nostalgic.
Which was a reprint.
A reprint?
Yeah, it was a digital thing.
Oh yeah, but it a lot of people, me included, don't care about really digital books as far as, digital exclusive, so.
But still, a reprint of a digital book that costs $5.
Well, people are nostalgic. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people got into comics through that X-Men TV series, so it makes sense.
Justice League 41.
Awesome.
Has that little asterisk.
Yeah,
And then Groot number one, which also has a,
it was included in a comic block. It says less than 10,000 copies. So at least just under 10,000 copies of that.
Well, Justice League having the asterisk doesn't mean a whole lot because Justice League is always in the top 10 anyway.
It was actually
down this time because of the Secret Wars books. Although I don't see the sales numbers on it. I imagine it was close to what it usually does, and those other books just sold more than usual.
Okay, is there anything else we want to talk about before we move to trade paperbacks? Is that what we usually do? Sorry, I'm usually behind you guys, so for me to be ahead of you is kind of new to me.
Yeah, you go to, graphic novels next.
Let's do the graphic novels.
We have Witches Volume 1. Go ahead, sorry Marvel, go ahead.
Yeah, Witches Volume 1.
Mm-hmm.
$10 book. It's, almost 9,000 copies. Yeah, it wasn't a big month for, paperbacks. They're all, like, relatively the same. You know, usually you have that one who sells like 20,000 more than everybody else.
Yeah, you'll get stuff that people are still buying apparently. But, for Witches to be number one is kind of odd.
Image readers are more likely to buy in trade.
Okay.
Image is the trade company.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
But number two is Thanos, the Infinity Relativity hardcover.
I have no idea what that is.
I imagine it was a Starlin Thanos story.
Oh, okay.
In hardcover, and it cost $25. I will actually confirm. Because I have to imagine that, yeah, it was Starlin. I'm looking at the cover.
When it's anything Thanos, there's a good bet it's gonna be Starlin.
Yes. Because that's his baby.
Speaking of babies, whoop whoop, number three, whoop whoop.
What?
East to West, Volume 4. West. Who Wants War?
Oh, that's nice.
Good guy!
It's Marvel Volume 3, number 4.
Crushed. Aww. Poor Kamala.
That was a recent one.
Yeah,
that's a new one.
Yeah, that's what gave it away.
Civil War, paperback, $25, number 5.
Folks are still buying that? That's... Well, then you look at number 6, Saga Volume 1 as well, so.
I'm guessing the Civil War because of... you know, the announcements because of, Captain America 3 and probably that new Civil War during Secret Wars.
Yeah, all that synergy between those two, yeah, probably bumped up the original Civil War. Makes sense.
Right, Saga's Volume 1 and 4 or 6 and 7.
I'm sorry, you cut out there for a second, Marvel. Let's see. Let's see if we can get you back. Marvel?
What?
I am here.
Okay, yeah, sorry, my mistake. Continue.
No, thanks. Yeah, House of Hem. What is that?
I don't know.
This is published by Marvel.
Huh. Yeah. Oh, I know what that is. It was that that parody book.
Let's see. House of Hem number 1.
It's like these really bad, like almost like comic strip.
It was written by Jim Shooter.
Huh. Okay.
Yeah, I saw that.
Cartoonist Fred Hembeck. Oh, he was the guy who used to do the little cartoons in the Marvel bullpen.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was a book of his stuff.
Frickin' Jack.
Yeah. So it was like a collection of his little cartoons or new cartoons.
I was excited when I saw it because at least it was something different. But when I saw the price tag for it, I'm like, forget it.
Was it a hardcover?
No, but it was still more than your average comic book.
We've talked too much about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, what is ODYC Volume 1?
I'm not looking that up, dude.
Yeah, I don't know what that is. And then number 10 was Marvel Universe Ant-Man Digest.
Oh, the heel.
That was the old Ant-Man stories collected together.
Okay. Yeah, I guess that's it.
Yeah, that'll do it for comic book sales for the month of June 2015. All right, let's move on to our next news story. Jonathan Hickman apparently drawing his next book in addition to obviously writing it.
He wanted a break from big superhero stuff, so he's doing his own thing.
Good for him. And he can in fact draw, because we've seen that. I think what broke him into the business was that Nightly News. I tried to read some of it. It was a little too, like, it was kind of hard to read just because of the way he set up everything. But still, he's in fact a very good artist,
well,
I should say.
Luro is right, Folder. I said he was going to do something creator-owned.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So
good for him. Coming off the heels of Secret War, I imagine there'll be some demand for Hickman stuff. Now, maybe not a lot. Because C still rubs a lot of people the wrong way.
I think what's selling Secret Wars is the fact that it's Secret Wars and they're redoing the Marvel Universe. It's not necessarily, oh my god, Jonathan Hickman is writing this.
Well,
because
to kind of, the opposite of that would be, I didn't really care about Jonathan Hickman going into Infinity. Infinity made me such a big fan, I went back and read all of his other stuff, so. I'm sure, like you said, the mass majority of people will probably won't care, but there'll be some people who want to read more of Hickman. Alright, let's move on to a very lighthearted news story before we go into our final story. A story unique to us because we talk so much pro wrestling, but the former WWE champion Edge will be playing, Adam Smasher on the Flash television.
Who is gonna be a villain.
Yeah, which is odd.
Cause he's not a villain.
But he's such a great heel, maybe. No, I don't know.
He's also playing a Jew.
As a Jew. I think of Brent Cameron when I think of that.
Oh well.
Yeah. He looks odd. I've seen the images of him. He's very, he's been hitting the gym.
I didn't even look at it because like I don't watch The Flash.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you and I were talking.
I should.
Yeah, you and I were talking last night. We've seen a little bit of Arrow and it kind of seems like a show that's not for us, but the more we hear about Flash, this may be a TV series that we should be watching.
Yeah. Yeah, I got nothing against it. I just, you know, I don't watch a lot of TV right now.
Yeah, but then there's also that thing where I just assumed it was going to be another Arrow, so I probably shouldn't be watching, but apparently they've been teasing a lot of cool stuff and they've been doing it, some interesting stuff, so maybe they're deciding to go a different direction with Flash.
I said I was going to watch it when CBR had the story about Grodd is coming, and they've been teasing Grodd, and I'm like, oh my god, I have to see that.
That is awesome. All right, now final news story, a bigger news story than the previous one. Apparently, we thought Grant Morrison was going to take some time off from DC, but apparently that wasn't true.
I'm so happy about this news. Okay, so Grant Morrison is doing Multiversity 2,
yes.
Not TWO, TOO. And he has said, you don't have to read Multiversity to read this. This is basically an excuse to get Grant Morrison to do a bunch of graphic novels.
Nice.
Focused on characters that are all out of continuity. He can do whatever he wants with them because they're taking place not in the DC mainline continuity.
Mm-hmm.
The only one they've announced so far is The Flash, and he's wanted to do an Adam story for a long time, but he's never had a chance
yes.
to do it. So we know at least Flash and Adam, and he's also going to be doing some stuff on Batman Black and White, which is going to be like an anthology book.
Fantastic.
So
I'm sure you'll love it and I'll hate it.
Well, I did read the Batman Black and White thing. It's going to be photos. Like a photo comic. Mm-hmm. Like what we talked about with Dazza on that show.
That's awesome.
I'm not overly excited about, but Multiversity 2 I'm very excited about because he could do whatever he wants with whatever character he wants in any continuity.
Mm-hmm.
That's cool.
That sounds like good times.
Happy for that.
All right, in our next segment, while not an official segment, just something that we do now after news where we plug stuff. The one thing I want to plug selfishly, and I already talked to the guys, they're like, this is not news, we're not going to talk about this, but I selfishly want to plug the graphic audio site. They do a bunch of audiobooks of all the comic books. And the latest one they're announced is Ms. Marvel. So for my own selfish purposes, if you're in that kind of stuff like me, check it out so we can keep getting more of those because I absolutely love those. And the last thing we're going to plug, just a reminder, we did our plugs everywhere. We did it on the CBR message board. We did it on the F4W board. We did it on our site at halfguarded.com. But for those of you who still, for whatever reason why, haven't heard of it yet, but we are doing a haiku contest. I believe the deadline is next week. Well, actually, we were recording this on Saturday what's today, the 18th?
Yes.
The 18th.
So the deadline is, I believe, midnight Pacific Standard Time?
The 25th.
The 25th. Like I said, it was the deadline for submissions for haikus. Like we said before, they can be anything comic book related or manga or TV show or movie related. Just be sure, if it's something obscure, just be sure to mention in the email. And, of course, email is comicconversations1@gmail.com. You can check in the show description on the iTunes as well as on our site, halfguarded.com. And, like I said, in the giveaway is the first two deluxe editions of Why the Last Man. These are fantastic books. I absolutely love Why the Last Man. You get these deluxe graphic novels. And you know what the thing is? If we do this and it's a big success, I think we're going to continue keep doing this. Because I have like literally a back catalog of just tons and tons of graphic novels that I'm looking to just give away. So help us get this thing off the ground so we can continue to do all these great giveaways.
Yeah, if we don't get a bunch of submissions, I'm just going to ask Ben Metten to send his graphic novels to me. we discussed this already. So.
And you don't want that, do you?
No, you don't want me to get free stuff.
Should I tease what I'm thinking about giving away, or should we just emphasize what we're giving away this month?
Yeah, because what you wanted to give away is actually really cool.
It's actually a really big deal. But we'll see how this... Okay, I'm going to tell everybody what we're doing. I kind of wanted to put this off till later, but... depending how this does. Okay, with Secret Wars, you know, we're knee deep in Secret Wars by Jonathan Hickman. And what's Jonathan Hickman most famous for, Lura?
Fantastic Four.
Now for my giveaway that we're going to be doing, should this contest do really well, I have all the graphic novels from Jonathan Hickman's entire run on Fantastic Four. So if this contest does as well as I hope it does, we can maybe do a giveaway on that as well.
That is an awesome prize.
I know. I kind of wanted to wait till the last month of Secret Wars, but I'm so excited. I kind of want to maybe bump it up. So
I'm actually going to go update on Secret Wars that on CBR. I mean,
nice.
So that's awesome.
So like I said, send your haikus in. If we do really well on that, that's in the back catalog of stuff that we're going to probably be doing down the road. Kind of incentivize people to enter in this contest so we can do this big giveaway. All right, with that all out of the way, let's go into lightning round. It wouldn't be lightning round if we decided that we were going to bump stuff up. And specifically, there's stuff that I said I was going to read this week. And I still read it. I still read this week's Justice League as well as Captain Marvel. But like I was telling the guys beforehand, I don't really want to talk about it. Like, yeah, there were more moves the storyline along, but not enough to where I want to talk about it. I'm just like, there's still good series. I may drop Captain Marvel, but for sure Justice League is going to be a big deal. They're still building to this Dark Side versus Anti-Monitor thing, and the kind of the go away from this week's issue was Batman sat in what's the name of the guy in the chair? I forget his name is Mortis. Laurel, but Laurel, back me up. What's the name of the guy that you're the DC guy? What's the guy in the chair?
Immortus? Metron.
Metron, there we go. He sat on the Metron chair, and apparently he gained all knowledge and became a god.
Wait, what? Metron's chair time travels.
He traveled.
A different chair?
It's the same chair, but he traveled back in time, or not back in time.
Okay.
He talked to the Justice League, and they were trying to get some information out of him. They fought him, they got him off the chair, and of all people, Batman sat in the chair. He got some information, like he just specifically asked, like basic stuff, like, oh, who shot my parents? Joe Chill. What's Joker's real name? They didn't allude to it, but he just said, oh, I don't believe it. And then, of course, it ended with Bat God. That's what the tease for the next issue is, which I'm not kind of cool with that, but let's see if they can kind of justify it. Maybe, walk it back a little bit, because that sounds pretty stupid. Bat God.
Well, that's what, Grant Morrison's Batman is called.
Is it really?
Jokingly online, because he was so utterly capable.
Oh, okay.
Just called him Bat God.
And then you said you very quickly wanted to talk Cross Plus 100. We teased it last week, and this week you said, yeah, we'll talk about it. I mean, we'll still do a lightning round, but you weren't too pleased with this week's Cross Plus 100.
So the interesting thing about Cross Plus 100 was that they had moved forward 100 years, and the Crossed were pretty much controlled because the way they lived, it was impossible for them to survive.
Mm-hmm.
And the hint in this was they had been learning and getting smarter. Well, we had the swerve in this issue that we found out one of the infected was actually living among the people.
Oh.
And I should have known this. There was a guy who had like a jacked up, like completely scarred up face. The reason his face looked like that was it was the only way they could cover up the big frickin' cross on his face. But he was the little black kid you saw in the video they left behind where they were teaching him how to act like a normal person.
Mm-hmm.
But he had grown up, scarred up his face, and joined up with the people, which then would allow the army of crossed people to go to the human settlement and rape and kill everyone, because that's what they do. But the problem with this was it meant the story ended the way every single issue of Crossed has ended for, like, the last 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, oh, we're going to kill and rape everyone and eat them. And it's like, okay, you were doing something different, and now I've gotten to the point where you just did the same thing I've seen a million times, so... It completely took me out of it because it's like, okay, it's the exact same thing.
People are expecting it though. If it's cross plus 100, I have to imagine, or you want it, at this point, you wanted something different.
Yeah, I wanted something different, and it's not different. It just ended up being the same thing, except they were smart enough to play a trick.
Mm.
And that was the only difference. So.
Okay.
Yay. And by the way, they planned for 100 years, and all they were able to do was come up with a plan to trick people so they could kill them.
Wow.
So, great. So Moore's end to his first story arc was underwhelming.
For all the promos he cut on modern day comics, for him to underperform like this.
Well, you know what? He was staying true to the book.
Oh. Okay.
I mean, that's what the book is, so. Whatever.
Okay.
But yeah, disappointing.
Yeah, and even though we had a light week for books this week, we were talking beforehand. We wanted to bump up a bunch of stuff. That stuff that two books that we specifically wanted to just do a quick review on, and one book specifically which wasn't good enough to do a full review. Of which it being Secret Wars Battleworld, which none of us liked. And when like I said, we should bump stuff up to kind of beef up Lightning Round. I was like, oh, okay, that's gonna be the first book we talk about straight after that, because I hated it, Marvel hated it, Laurel hated it.
It had three stories and they were all bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, one was the Wolverine fighting other Wolverines in Bonjour World.
And that was the long one and the art sucked.
Yeah, and then there was it was a Deadpool one in 1872. He's trying to ride, his whole thing is riding Devil Dinosaur for some reason.
Which was kind of cute.
There was that one scene where he's making fun of Devil Dinosaur with the arms. That was funny.
So the basics on that, and I mean, that was technically the best part of the book. He's riding around on Lockjaw, but he's upset with Lockjaw because Lockjaw isn't a cool enough ride for him, I guess. And he goes to find Devil Dinosaur, and he wants to ride Devil Dinosaur, but Moon Boy attacks him. And Devil Dinosaur eats him, but then spits him out because Deadpool is apparently the worst tasting thing ever. Moon Boy kind of bonds with Lockjaw because Lockjaw is just a nice little dog. Big dog. So they go off together and they're going to be buddies now. Moon Boy, Devil Dinosaur, Lockjaw, and Deadpool are a quartet of fun.
Yes,
and the last story was a Ant-Man story where all the different Ant-Mans collide.
I barely even remember this, to be honest. Now that I think about it.
Well,
it was one page.
Yeah, literally. It was like one page. So this was nothing.
And then two other books that we liked, but at the same time there wasn't a whole lot to say. Korvac Saga and Planet Hulk.
I thought Korvac Saga was actually kind of good.
Yeah, you were outvoted. Me and Marvel, like, we liked it, but we felt like we're not going to do a full review because it's like, I don't know. I don't have a lot to say.
I can tell you exactly what happened. They did one of those presidential parades with Korvac and Wonder Man, and the sickness or whatever the madness was creating monsters, and one of them was Korvac's wife. So the Avengers ended up killing Korvac's wife, but they didn't know it was his wife. So he's grieving, and so the his Guardians and Wonder Man's Avengers work together to find out what the source of the madness is. And Starhawk got killed by some cosmic-looking entity. I'm not sure what that was.
I didn't know either.
Yeah, but they claim that was the, it looks like that was the source of the madness. I don't know who that is or who it's supposed to be.
It pwned him. And the reason this wasn't bad was because it was built up well. The book looked good. The writing was good. There was no problem with that. It's just what he described was everything that happened in this issue. I am interested to see what that was. So, I mean, it wasn't an ineffective comic. It's just how much are we going to say about it? Planet Hulk was Captain America fighting with Doc Green. Not fighting Doc Green, but fighting with
alongside,
Doc Green,
yeah.
and Devil Dinosaur came back.
Yeah. They were having like a little philosophical debate about, oh, well, you're not going to save the people of this place. I thought that's what you stood for. You know, he's like, oh, you're helping Dr. Doom, but you hate Dr. Doom. He's kind of like giving this little philosophical thing, kind of guilt tripping him. Well, anyways, at the end of the story, Doc Green tells him to shut up before eventually just bailing on him. And then Captain America gets plugged in with about six different spears and captured by the tribal wolves.
Yep. That wasn't bad.
That was pretty much it. It was okay.
Yeah, it was a good book, but like I said, not a ton happened, so that's why we bumped it up the lightning round. All right, let's go into this week's books. Marvel, it was this week's week for Marvel to pick out this week's song, and he wanted to pick out that Okada theme because he's extremely pumped for the G1 coming up. Yes. Right, Marvel? New Japan Pro Wrestling's biggest tournament of the year, biggest shows of the year, and he insisted on having that be this week's
Batman, theme. I've tried to tell you, it's not New Japan Pro Wrestling. It's Shin Nihon Puresu.
Mm-hmm.
That is what it's called.
No.
Darn it.
It's New Japan Pro Wrestling, and the country is named Japan.
Shin Nihon Puresu.
All right, let's go into this week's books, which are as follows. Mercury Heat number 1, Astro City 25, The Empty 5, Ant-Man Annual 1, Captain Britain and the Defenders 1, Guardians of Nowhere 1, Inhuman Atomic Rising 3, Moon Knight 17, Siege 1, Server Slipper 13, Where Monsters Dwell 3, Book of Death 1, and Dead Drop 3. A good week of books.
There were some good books.
There were a lot of contenders for Book of the Week this week. I'm already counting like 3 or 4 contenders for Book of the Week this week now that I went over that list in my mind. All right. Let's go into our first book that we weren't too hot on the book, but like, I wanted to bump it up to lightning round, but you specifically, Lero, wanted to talk at length about it. Our first book, Mercury Heat. And while you
not
talk
at
about
length,
that.
It's just, my thing was, I said when we do number ones, whether it's good or bad, we should at least cover them because it's a number one. And we're either going to continue to review it or like this book, we're not going to continue to review it. And we should explain why because it's a new book. And the reason we're not, continuing to read this book is because the first issue came off very badly with the most generic main character I think I've ever read in my entire life.
And a bit of a generic story as well.
The tone was bare bones for the most part. The main character, like I said, wasn't great. She's a stock action hero with, you know, like, oh, the stock action hero with a sense of justice wants to fight crime and protect people. And she doesn't take shit from nobody. And it was just bland and lackluster. I hated the art. I did not like the art.
I didn't like the art either.
I didn't hate it, but it was, in fact, bland.
Here's what I'll give this story. This story is the perfect example of a interesting world with a story that did not back it up at all.
No.
Because the main plot of the book is people live on Mercury. But one side of the planet is too cold and one side of the planet is too hot. but the, like the equator, the middle,
mm-hmm.
the area between them, people can live there.
Awesome.
So, you know, colony ships and stuff are traveling there, and our character went there. And a lot of this they didn't explain. You just kind of got the sense of it. There's something that apparently runs through all the people called the grapevine.
Yes.
Which is like a computer. It's like a job placement service.
Yeah, more or less.
But universe-wide. Because the woman is talking to the grapevine. And she wants to get a cop job. But the thing's like telling her, oh, you qualify for stuff that pays a lot better than that. And, you know, blah, blah, blah.
She took a lower paying cop job if she wanted one.
Yeah, so she could be a cop. And we saw very little of the world. I mean, there was some sort of cute stuff. Like when she first arrives there, they explain that the people on Mercury, they kind of develop their own language as like a cultural thing. And these guys are saying something.
Mm-hmm.
And she remarks to her little head computer, like, record what they just said. So then she takes this stuff that, you know, gets her ready for the planet and like makes her learn the language with science.
Mm-hmm.
And she plays back the message, and that is actually kind of funny. The guy's like, I hope she gets a job in mining because I'd like to drill her all night long. And then she beats the shit out of them. So
yeah.
But yeah,
she takes a case in this issue, and she, I guess, kills some criminals or captures some criminals or something.
Yeah, she jumps around a lot and fights a lot. And I read the back page where Gillen, pretty much defends writing this book, and he basically just said, "Oh, I wanted to do a book with a strong female action hero." And I mean, technically, she was a strong female action hero.
But she was like a stock female action superhero in the sense that, oh, everyone just sees her as a woman, but she's so much more. And it's like, ugh. Like,
yeah, and there was some neat stuff to it. Like, you know, the whole computer thing was kind of cool. The idea of where they live on Mercury, that was kind of cool. The art wasn't very good. There was interesting stuff in this. But if he's going to be dealing with this character, which he appears to be, mm-hmm. then I don't want to read this book. I actually told Marvel I might read the second issue because I'm under the impression maybe this is just a gimmick for the first issue and he's actually going to talk more about the interesting stuff in the second issue.
Yeah.
So I'm going to read this again and I might lightning round.
Usually I'm against world building because I want the narrative to move along. But considering what the storyline seems to be, I'm cool with them doing world building.
Yeah, the universe they created is more interesting than the story or any of the characters, of which there are two.
And yes. like you were saying in your review, I'm just going to bring this up now. I usually do it beforehand. The writer was Karen Gillen, and the art by Omar Francia, and that's published by Avatar Press.
Omar, I'm not a fan of your art, brother. Just so you know.
I thought it was fine.
There was, you know,
a little bit generic, but...
It was the people. I didn't like the way a lot of the people looked.
Yeah, that was my problem.
Yeah, the actual, like, the backgrounds, the tech stuff he was drawing, the spaceships, that all looked good. But the people did not look great. And I just felt, I know what kind of a writer Gillen is. And the fact that he had his character remove a large portion of her clothing because it was too hot on purpose. He's not the type of writer who does that, which is why I think there's got to be more to this book.
It's
so that's
ironically,
why I'm giving
maybe?
It another issue.
It's doing it ironically, maybe.
Yeah, but I'm giving it another issue on faith in the writer, not because of anything in the actual book itself.
You know what? If we get a light week when this comes out, issue two, I may join you. But for if anything, you can lighten around it and let us know how it is.
Yeah, maybe it'll get better.
All right, let's move on to Astro City 25, writer Kurt Busiek, art by, okay, because I did New Japan Pro Wrestling, I'm going to say Jesus Marino.
Jesus.
Says Jesus.
Hey, by the way, I just want to mention this. I usually wait till the end to talk about Busiek's one page. Here's what I'm going to be doing in the future.
Mm-hmm.
This was a one-off story.
Yes, we've been getting a lot of those lately, and I was hoping we were going to get... This would be the first instance that where we get, you know, a two-part, three-part story. But no, this is still another good one-off story.
He did a character introduction and a complete character arc in one book.
And it didn't feel rushed or anything. It felt like, you know, everything was just excellent pacing, and everything settled itself out by the end of the issue, which is odd, but.
Well, no, it's a sign of a talented writer that you got a real sense for a character and all that in one issue instead of, you know, dragging it on forever. I just want to say before we get into talking about this book, in the backup, somebody basically asked, hey, are we ever going to get an Enforcer story? Because that's been a character who's been in all the Astro City books. He's the Iron Man guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But he's never done anything. And he said, I have the story. It's going to be an expose on the Enforcer. He goes, and it will be an expose. He's like, but we need to get the timing right because that's going to be a 3 or 4 issue arc. And we didn't have time for that right now, so we're going to be focusing on more one-and-done stories, including the secret origin of American Chibi.
Woo-hoo! That's exactly what I was going to talk about. I'm like, oh, he's saving it for like a 10-part series for American Chibi, right?
Well, because this was a fill-in artist. What he said was all of his issues that go more than 2 issues, all those storylines, he wants the original artist. He could not get him for this month. He couldn't get 4 issues, so he had to do a one-off. And he's not going to have him for a little bit, so he's going to do more one-offs. So that also explains a bit more about how he does the comic. This comic was about, what was her name, Hummingbird?
Yeah, it was the daughter of Hummingbird.
Okay.
Her mom was the original one. This was an origin story and, you know, full story all in one. Her dad was some mystical guy from the ancient hidden city in Peru that, fought, some sort of evil god. And she has powers because she was cursed. And her powers are basically she grows up and she's eventually going to turn into a bird of some sort. I guess a hummingbird. And, it shows her growing up, a single family home. Her mom was, you know, she still hung out with all the honor guard people, so she knew all the honor guard women. Eventually, she found out, you know, her dad was still around, and she was able to defeat that evil god. And she found out that she was cursed. And the other gods were saying, well, we can remove this curse, or, you know, but if we leave it, you're still going to continue to turn into a bird eventually. And
yeah, if they remove the curse, they would have to remove all of her powers.
And she was like,
but she wanted to be a superhero.
She wanted to stay the way she was now, but they said, no, your 2 options are you can return back to being a normal person, or you can continue to transform into this bird.
And she wouldn't necessarily turn into like a little bird. She might just look like, you know, she might just look like a bird. Like she'd be like a bird person.
And then to everyone's surprise, she chose to keep her powers.
Well, because she's lived her entire life as a superhero.
Yeah, and that's how she tries to justify to her mother.
Her mom was a superhero. And that's why they stressed, you know, the women of the Honor Guard were like her, you know, her aunts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's her entire life. If she didn't have superheroing, she'd have nothing. So she decided to stick with superheroing.
It's funny
because she'll turn into a bird.
It's funny because even though her mom doesn't have superpowers, she has the suit and everything. She could have just used that.
Yeah, that was,
But he was obviously telling a certain story, the fact that she chose to keep her power, which was cool.
Yeah.
I liked it.
It went along with it and it was fine. It was a good story, good character, good development, good build, good resolution. Everything about this was good. Kurt Busiek is a fantastic writer. I love this series.
I'm going to continue using this as an example when we say not a whole lot happened in one issue, because this goes to show you can tell a very good, detailed story in one issue. Bendis looking at you.
That's been known for some time. Bendis has done it. He doesn't do it anymore, but he's done it in the past. He has written one-issue storylines that were very good.
The Ultimate X-Men issue.
One-issue storylines don't sell books, brother. Because why do you have to come back next month? You already finished the story. You got to leave them wanting more. You got to cut their dicks off, put it in a jar.
Hey.
That's how you bring them back.
He doesn't mean figuratively, I'm sure. He's talking about that book we read last week. What was that again?
I can't, I can't, Bloodstrike, I can't wait to see how that's sold. I hope it sold a million copies.
Alright, let's move on to our next book, Empty Number 5, writer and artist Jimmy Robinson.
Story went exactly where I said it was going. Exactly. Except there's side stuff that makes it weird. Okay, we got a plot dump in this.
A big one, actually.
We had our whole world explained. So, in the last issue, they found the source of all the world's problems, and it was all high-techy. Mm-hmm. They go inside, and again, it is yet more high-techy. And when they're looking around, Leela there can open all the doors for some reason they haven't explained yet.
Because magic.
A hologram appears. And it's talking to them, but they can't understand it because it's speaking English. And she's like, I can't, you know, Leela's got her magic where she can connect to things and then everyone understands their language. She couldn't connect to this thing because it's a hologram.
Exactly.
So they're walking through and then they find, the woman's body.
She's in suspended animation. She just assumes she hasn't been woken up yet, but the thing is.
She's in a pod, but she can connect to her. So she connects to her in the pod, mm-hmm. which allows her to understand her. And the girl's hologram, cause she asked the computer to wake her up and it says, we can't wake you up. You've been in there too long. You wouldn't be able to walk. Your muscles are all jacked up. Like you wouldn't survive.
The pause, only thing that was keeping her alive. And the fact of the matter is there were a bunch of other people that were in suspended animation as well.
Yeah. And they're all dead.
Yeah. I guess they were in there for so long that they all had died.
Yeah. So we find revealed when she asks when it is and they're like, oh, it's like May 24th. 9,257.
And first she thought, oh, so-and-so is just playing a joke on me. He does this all the time.
But then the computer reveals they're all dead.
Yeah, she looks at a map of the world, and they're like, oh, we fixed all the world's problems. We fixed, I think specifically they mentioned global warming. They said, oh,
that was their goal. They mm-hmm. were trying to fix the world. But apparently they jacked up the world.
Exactly. And that's completely. why the world looks the way it does. And so she specifically, like, she was lamenting. She's like, oh my God, not only am I stuck in this pod for the rest of my life, I'm a ghost, but apparently all of our plans were for naught because we kill everybody except for this one little patch of land. And, you know, they're trying to make her feel better, but she was
which is where Leela is from.
Exactly.
That is the one part of the world that is not fucked. So, The side story was Leela's boyfriend goes to meet with,
the prince.
The prince who wants Leela dead, but knows he's looking for him. And he tells him, listen, I can tell you what's going on with Leela, but, you have to be a member of the royal family. And he's like, but I can't be a member of the royal family. He's like, oh, you just need a blood transfusion.
He's like, just a technical thing. He's like, we're really very similar. The only difference is the royal bloodline.
And he had a guy, if he didn't agree with him, ready to knife him. Like, he was going to kill him if he didn't agree, but he agreed. So it's like, okay, and I'm sure there's more to this being in the bloodline. And also, just so you know, she did, in fact, confirm that this is the only island where everything isn't shit because she sent, like, these automated probes out. Mm-hmm. And they scanned the entire Earth, and they're like, 99.9% of human life is extinguished. Which means there could be a couple other people. Because 0.1% wouldn't just be her.
But we've also seen that there's people living in the empty as well, so.
Yeah, but they're not humans.
True.
Unless they consider them humans and they've just evolved that way. So, okay, fair enough. But something's going on there. The guy did see the new royal, Leela's boyfriend, did see the weird metal probe flying by. So he saw that. I don't know if that means anything. We didn't get an explanation of why Leela has magical powers. Unless, I mean, my theory is she created this, maybe like the stuff that they put out to fix the Earth, like all that shit went in her.
Maybe.
Or in her people. So they would actually be capable of fixing the world because we've seen she can.
But I don't think it's her people because they set her apart from the others. Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, somehow all this ended up in her. So Leela's the only one who can save the world.
It's kind of cool that I didn't read the last issue. So when I went into this, I'm like, okay, I'll try to read it, and if I can't make heads or tails of it, I won't do a review with Leroy, and you can just bump this up to lightning round. I had no problem picking this up where exactly where we left off. I'm sure.
Well, yeah, but I mean, that was going to be evident because this is the issue where they revealed everything. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, I'm glad we stuck with this book.
Yeah, I remember when we first read it, we were all kind of down on it. I think even Marvel, did you read issue one or no?
Yeah.
Yeah, he read issue one and dropped it. We kept reading it.
And then I think just specifically I read it just because it was a light week and I said, well, why the hell not? I'll just read it.
Yeah. And, I'm glad we kept reading it. It's interesting. I want to see what they're going to do now because they do have someone who had ideas on how to fix the Earth when the Earth was not as bad off as it is now.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume she, with her science, will be able to figure out how Leela is doing this and how maybe they could use it to fix everything.
Yes.
Because this isn't a depressing book. This is, I mean, it was just revealed that, you know, everyone's dead and the world except for one island is shit, but.
And it's all because they were trying to fix it, but it all went tragically wrong.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's overall, it's not a depressing book. I could see this having a happy ending, which is nice and comic. So I'm going to keep reading it and under the assumption we'll eventually get a happy ending.
Yeah, as will I.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to our next book, Ant-Man Annual number 1, writer Nick Spencer, art by Ramon Rosanas.
This is a fun story.
I love Very Ant-Man. Fun. Remember I first finished reading Ant-Man, I specifically told you guys, stop whatever you're doing and read Ant-Man now. I love this week's Ant-Man.
This was an annual, you know, usually the annual isn't,
But it's an annual written by the writer who...
Yeah.
That's why specifically read it, because I think there were other annuals that they did, but they were by different writers, so we just chose to no-sell it. But this specific one was, in fact, by Nick Spencer, and it did, in fact, take place during...
Well, I always check for us, so we don't end up reading something that's nothing.
Yeah, and this was also taking place during the current timeline of the current Ant-Man story, so...
Well, it was a flashback, but it opened up.
Well, it starts off as a, you know, they show, you know, his two,
lackeys.
He likes to think of them as friends, but really they're just his employees.
That was actually really funny. They're at a bar in Miami and yeah. Grizzly Man is getting angrier and angrier and he's like, hey, put the Bears game on. And Grizzly Man is wearing a Bears shirt.
I like how Scott Lang was like, does he actually even like the Bears? He's like, nah, he's just trying to live the gimmick.
Oh, that was great. And I like
the bar owner. Even though this guy is dressed up as this bear, and you know he's a former supervillain, he's fully functional with his claws, he still stood up to the bear and said, look, this is Miami, this is a Dolphins bar, right?
Yeah, this is a Dolphins bar.
If you don't
bar,
like it, you can leave.
And the Dolphins are going to be on every TV. Dick.
And then the electric guy does the gimmick where he takes over the TV.
Yeah, Machine Smith.
Yeah, he threatens him via TV. And
I love the part where he says on the TV, all your base are belong to us.
Yeah, and then he gets the Bears game on, presumably. But Ultron appears, where they confirm the Rage of Ultron
was in fact canon.
Graphic novel was canon.
Yeah, Marvel.
But they also revealed in this that Hank Pym isn't really dead.
Well, he sort of is.
No, but he was talking to Wasp, and he even said, even though he isn't really...
Well, he's out in space, merged with Ultron, yeah. So he isn't dead. They're just like, well, he's not going to be back anytime soon, and we should just presume he's dead. But we're getting ahead of ourselves here.
Yeah.
But like I said, Marvel's up, when we say Marvel, our co-host on the show said, oh, this is probably going to be canon, this is probably going to be canon. I'm like, eh, whatever, they're just saying that so they can push that graphic novel.
They pushed it was canon from the get-go.
No, you said that and they said as well, but I was like, they're just saying that to push sales. But apparently, no, this confirms that, in fact, that story was canon, which I do have a couple of problems with because we saw Hank Pym in New Avengers as Yellow Jacket, but for some reason why in that story he was Giant Man, he died, but somehow he was able to be at both places at the same time. But apparently this supersedes that, and that storyline was canon. So
well, there are a lot of problems with Secret Wars. Like we never saw X Nation. So
how do you get that Phoenix egg?
Well, Uncanny X-Men comes out next week, which we're not reading, so.
I know. I think they read the last issue of Uncanny X-Men, and it's like, literally, Bendis is just killing time until he gets to X-Men 600.
No, that is what they're doing. They are just doing fillers.
Yeah, they're killing time. But this story was about, Scott Lang teaming up with Hank Pym, because Hank Pym, he left a lab inside the Ant-Man helmet.
Awesome.
And it was, you know, the cute interaction between the new Ant-Man and the old Ant-Man. And, they had to go on an adventure to fight one of Hank Pym's arch nemesis. Fucking Egghead.
And Hank was trying to put him over. He's like, well, he led the Masters of Evil. He's like, yeah, not the good one.
Yeah, Scott's like, yeah, not the good Masters of Evil.
The thing is, I do remember the issue where they killed him. So, like, they just brought him back alive.
Well, yeah, he explained that. He said he had a rejuvenation formula, which allowed him to come back to life for this annual. And what he did was he stole some Avengers LMDs.
They weren't quite LMDs because they were specifically made by Hank Pym.
Oh, sorry, but they looked like LMDs. But yeah, Hank Pym made robots that looked like the Avengers at the time. So like Beast was there and stuff. Wait, let me get, hold
yeah,
on.
Yeah,
I have to keep explaining. He called in a member of, basically the Geek Squad.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Who he looked him up online and he found out that, he had a degree in like, or he wrote his, thesis on artificial AI. Intelligence. Yeah. And the guy, he's like, so why are you working for them? And he's like, well, the problem was, Hank Pym sort of invented this whole artificial intelligence thing, and it was going to be the biggest new field, but then he created Ultron, and then he went on a crusade to destroy all the AI in the world, which made every company who had an AI division close it down. So I'm working for Geek Squad now. Well, Egghead mind controlled him.
Yes.
To program the robots to kill Hank Pym. However, he didn't fully get all their programming out because when Scott and Hank show up to fight Egghead, all the things do is they talk about how great Hank is.
And they put themselves down. I remember the Iron Man robot said, oh, I just pretend to know what Hank's talking about because I'm so dumb.
Yeah, but they're really nice to him. And then, like, the Captain Marvel one's like, he's so dreamy. And this is actually funny because Hank's like, oh, they're not creepy. And then they cut to... he's so dreamy, and the Thor one goes, verily, and he's like, okay, they're kind of creepy.
He's like, hey, he's like, don't judge me, I was going through some stuff back then, I had, self-esteem issues.
Yeah, he said, like, you know, I was an awkward scientist on a team of, like, you know, gods and Captain America, and I had issues with that.
I like Scott Lang. It's like, do you watch baseball?
Yeah, I knew Marvel was gonna love that, and I laughed for like a good 5 minutes when I read that. That was great.
Yeah, but they do defeat Egghead. They unmind control the guy who was very funny actually.
I think his name was Kaz or Zaz or
I can't remember.
Well, we're gonna have to learn his name pretty soon because we had the big reveal at the end of this issue.
Yeah, Hank Pym gave that guy the Giant Man costume.
No, not Hank Pym.
Or Hank Scott Pym, Head.
Yeah, Hank Pym gave Scott Lang the lab because I was in his will, because remember, he's, for all intents and purposes, dead, and his ex-wife ran the estate.
Yeah, and she, actually, that was really nice because she revealed that, she revealed two funny things. The first one was, he picked him as Ant-Man because he assumed he wouldn't be better than him.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to get a new Ant-Man and he overshadows me. So I specifically chose Scott Lang because I knew he would never overshadow me. And he tells us to Scott Lang in the flashback, he's like, you're such a jerk.
Yeah. He did not appreciate that. But Wasp revealed that he actually was When Hank was having all of his problems, you know, wife beating and such, he looked at Scott as like a form of inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
Because Scott was a criminal who was basically a big loser, but he did in fact become a hero. And because he could do that with the help of Hank Pym's science, he thought, you know, look, I did something good. Like, I actually did something good in the world. Look what this guy happened. Look what happened with this guy, and it was all because of me. So Scott Lang actually helped Hank Pym become less of a douchebag. And Scott sent the Giant Man suit to that new character. So the new Giant Man is not only Indian.
I think, yeah, Indian or Pakistani.
He's a gay possible Indian. So two boxes checked there. But he was a really cool character. So I'm not saying they just made a token gay character. He's actually a really fun character. I liked him a lot and would like to see more of him. If
his name is, his name is Raz.
So he's Indian.
Probably.
Yeah.
It's not super important to the character, but yeah.
No, but they made sure to point out. I mean, you got a lot of his personality, and then near the end, they revealed he had a boyfriend. But they didn't focus on it. They more focused on his character.
Yeah, and the fact that you guys bring it up, I'm like, that completely flew over my head. So.
Well, I just thought it was important because we got to keep track of how many gay characters we got. Somebody other than Kieran Gillen has to make these fucking characters. Yeah. So.
And then if anyone ever accuses comic books of being homophobic, we can
listen. I've always said I'm largely against like what they did with Iceman, where they take a character who's been established as a heterosexual and then they just suddenly say he's gay. However, if they're going to make a new character who's gay, I'm okay with that because I don't have to, you know, go, well, I remember when he dated such and such. I don't remember this guy dating anyone but a dude. So I'm accepting of that.
And usually I'm not a big fan of them also just pulling out of nowhere, making a character. Oh, we need an Asian character, so let's just create a character out of nowhere that just so happens to be Asian. But
we need an Asian.
But Kamala Khan proved that you can just grab a character out of nowhere. We need a Muslim superhero, and they just pull
and make it relevant to the story without being overbearing and taking over the story.
So maybe that might be the architecture for their characters down the line.
Yes, introducing minority characters as if they are real characters and not entirely defined by what group they belong to.
Ghost Rider.
He wasn't entirely... His main character trait was loving his retarded brother. Come on.
Captain Britain, the Mighty Defenders, number one, writer Al Ewing... Art Alan Davis.
Judge Dredd. Judge Dredd world. Okay, so Fat Man tells me about this. He's like, oh, you're going to love this, dude. They combined two of your favorite characters.
And who did you say initially? You said Punisher and who else?
Judge Dredd.
Is that what you told me? Because this was prior before you had read the book.
Well, it was mainly just Judge Dredd, but when they showed the Judge Dredd world, it had a giant Punisher logo on one of the buildings.
Awesome.
But I mean, it was straight up Judge Dredd. Like, he had an email officer with him who was like a member of the Psycorps. Like,
they didn't call him, They were called Boss. Yes.
Yeah.
Boss.
He wasn't a judge. He was a boss. But I mean, it was fucking Judge Dredd. The costume was a lot more boring, but it was similar. He was going on about the law. It was Judge Dredd, Battle World.
Plus Punisher.
They revised the origin story of Iron Man. Instead of Iron Man being saved by the suit, the guy who made the suit for him, he put in the suit and saved his life.
And there was really good reasoning for that. It was because Tony Stark, instead of having the realization that, oh, I make weapons, but I'm not going to do that anymore. And then, you know, as Tony Stark's character has continued to make bigger Iron Man suits with better weapons, he said, the world doesn't need another weapons developer.
It needs a healer.
You're a doctor. Yeah. The world needs a healer. Because all I could do is, you know, kill more people. But you can save people. And that's what the world needs. So that's why he saved him.
That was cool.
Yeah, which made a lot of sense.
Yeah, they live in a world where they're all having dreams about the world prior to Doom World.
Going along with the Korvac saga.
Yeah, and they're also, they're like, because, you know, it's heresy to, like, question the stuff about Doom.
Yeah, before Doom, that's heresy.
Yeah, and She-Hulk in this world is one of the Thors, and even she's questioning it.
She's a crap Thor, though.
Yeah, so they meet.
Still She-Hulk.
Yeah. They at the border with the boss world or whatever the hell that boss city is.
The Judge World. It wasn't called Mega City, but it was like.
Yeah, it was something.
It was something similar.
Was it Mondo City or something like that?
Mondo City. Yeah, it was like Mondo City.
Yeah, they find someone else who was crossing the border between the two worlds. It was somebody who was the last Captain Britain, and she also remembers the world prior. So, you know, She-Hulk was going to take her in, but then they all commit heresy, and then, you know, Doom pops in. And he's like, oh, well, you know, you were benefiting from my help before. Well, how do you like this now? So he made it so the Mondo City people attacked, and I guess it's this world versus Mondo City. Judge Dredd action.
Why couldn't they just make that the book? Like, that seems significantly more interesting with this Captain Britain idea that they decided to go with.
I imagine it'll be a few issues long. Probably won't be that long.
Nah, I mean, no, but I'm just saying. Of the two, I'm far more interested in the Judge Dredd Punisher storyline than I am. Whatever they're doing with these Defenders.
Right. At least they're maintaining things, you know, the thing with the sickness and people. Like, cause even in the Spider-Man book, the Web of Spider-Man, they all remember things from the past too.
Yeah, they're obviously building to something, so it's cool that they're
eventually
in concert.
Everyone's gonna remember.
Yeah, they're in concert, they're all on the same page. Alright, Guardians of Nowhere number one, writer Brian Michael Bendis, art Mike Diodato.
The art was tremendous.
Oh. I forgot to read this.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
You didn't miss out on a whole lot.
It was a quick read. It wasn't bad, it was just a quick read.
Okay. No, I just completely forgot to read it until you just mentioned it.
And honestly, so. I remember the first part of this book, but I guess we're going to need Marvel's recap because I forgot the second part of the book. I remember the opening where Angela was looking for Gamora and she had to talk to Drax, and Drax didn't want to give her location away. So they fall a little bit, and then everything else I'm kind of fuzzy on.
Yeah. The book was kind of quick reading because a lot of it was, the first half was fighting. But yeah, like you said, Angela went after Gamora, and the reason why is because she was illegally crossing the borders.
Oh, okay, makes sense.
Yeah, and she had learned something is different with the world, and she says she mentions Thanos, but none of them know who Thanos is. You know, and by them I mean the Guardians. Mm-hmm. It was Rocket Raccoon, Drax. We had a Mantis run in here. I haven't seen her in a while. But yeah, they go hide out at Mantis's place.
Mm-hmm.
But then Gamora shows up, Angela. But she ends up, I guess, blowing up the house. It was Yotat. I don't know who that is, but he blasted with some big gun. And he tells him he now rules nowhere. So that was pretty much it. Like I said, a lot of it was fighting. The art was great. I did like the art.
I love the art. Diodato never goes wrong.
Angela's back to her old costume.
Yeah.
This is Battleworld, so.
Yeah, it doesn't matter anyway. But yeah, they're doing the whole thing with Gamora has learned stuff because she's been crossing the border illegally. And like I said, in this world, no one knows who Thanos is.
It's funny.
She knows who Thanos is.
It's funny because they have a Thanos on Battleworld, but I guess they haven't been crossing over the other worlds.
They have several Thanoses on Battleworld.
Yeah, but it's like you said, not everybody travels between worlds.
Okay, makes sense.
I think it's a select few number of people who actually know other places in Battleworld exist.
Laura, you say several, but I just know of the Thanos on the Infinity Gauntlet world. Where's there another Thanos? Not that I'm questioning you, I just want to know.
They mentioned him in another book this week. I can't remember which one.
I think, wasn't it the Siege book, or was it?
It was Siege, yeah. They mentioned Thanos in Siege.
Well, he
was a plot point.
Since you brought up.
And when they talked about Thanos in that last Secret Wars, they said he's much more powerful than any of the other Thanoses.
You want to go into that right now?
I really like that.
Siege number one, written by Kieran Gillian, art by Filippi Andretti.
Well, at least you wrote a good book this week.
Yeah. Like I said, most of the story I thought was pretty good. Nothing out of this world. And then we got the huge spoiler at the end of the book. But let's do a review and work our way back and work our way forward.
Yeah, Abigail Bran. Apparently, the whole thing with her is she had been orphaned as a child. She always wanted to, I guess, lead. That was one of her goals, was to lead an army engaged in, you know, freaking warlike behavior, I guess. She defeated Ord and gave him the biggest beating of his life, and this resulted this victory resulted in her being banned until her dying days to the shield.
Correct.
Which was her lifelong aspiration. Ord was the astonishing X-Men villain from the Whedon run.
Oh, that's right. I remember now. For a second there, I had no idea what you were talking about. But yeah, I read a lot of stuff, especially today. So yeah, I remember that now.
Yeah, she leads a clone army of Scott Summers.
which means we got a lot of dead Scott Summers on the battle world again.
Well,
which yeah. I'm cool with.
Their method of attack was pretty damn safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They would practically daily fight the Pym Phalanx, which was a giant Ant-Man army of as well as zombies.
Yeah, so apparently, Pym was infected with the Phalanx.
Yes.
And he went to, I don't know, he crossed the wall to try to stop the attacks.
Yeah, he thought he had the cure or,
solution. He was going to try to turn the zombies against the Ultrons.
Yes.
He had no plans for the Annihilation Wave.
Yeah, I know. So does this mean we're getting some spoilers for that Marvel Zombies versus Age of Ultron?
No, because this, no.
Okay.
Because this took place in the past, far in the past, and that Hank Pym we saw is contemporary. Also, he didn't have the Phalanx.
Oh, okay. And then speaking of history, we apparently got some history of Battleworld.
Any thoughts that, you know, Doom's kind of a dick, but maybe he's doing the right thing was completely shattered in this book, where we found out that, they broke through the wall
before, and they killed tons and tons
before,
of people.
Yeah, they actually destroyed entire regions of Battleworld. And then after they did that, you know, Doom didn't bring everybody back to life, but he did just wave his hand and teleport all the bad things back past the wall and rebuilt the wall.
And the only reason why he did that, because they eventually got to his kingdom.
Yeah, but he let all those people die, and he didn't bring them back to life, and he could have stopped it whenever he wanted.
Which kind of goes against my original theory way back when I thought, well, Doom's still sort of kind of a good guy. He just, you know.
If that's canon, if they no sell this, which I don't think they will because all the Secret Wars stuff has been pretty consistent.
Yeah.
But if they no sell this, it means nothing. If they don't, then Doom is a bigger dick than he's ever been.
Yeah. Well, you know, what would they say about, absolute power?
Well, yeah.
Yeah, well, in this issue, we also have Kang the Conqueror making an appearance.
See, here's the thing I'm confused. Is this a Kang the Conqueror or the Kang the Conqueror? Because we had that story. Go ahead.
I don't know about that one.
The only guys who are the are the guys who are on the Ark and the Cabal.
Here's my theory, though.
Yeah, Marvel Kang's going to back me up.
Kang exists in a weird time stream type deal.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe he got through that somehow because at the end of this issue, he ends up dying or getting destroyed. And
that was a future Kang.
Yeah, and another Kang showed up and he foreshadowed that the wall will fall in 20 days. Or yeah, it was like less. Yeah, 20 days, and that is Thanos that will bring about destruction. Neither she nor Kang knows of this individual. That Abigail is, you know, about that individual, but they're determined to stop him dead in his tracks. So, because they don't know who Thanos is, but exactly. This Kang does.
Mm-hmm.
So she doesn't know who Thanos is. I think Kang, already from some weird future in the post-Secret Wars continuity, knows that Thanos from the 616 is arriving and is probably going to destroy the shield to to take over Battleworld.
That is awesome. Except, I was kind of hoping they were going to do that, but when we got in the storyline that they already done that, I was like, oh, they already kind of blew their big spot. But the fact that...
Except it won't do anything, because we already showed that Doom can stop an attack from the wall anytime he wants.
Yeah, but if Doom's overwhelmed from the superheroes...
Now, here's... But that's not the case, because he killed Cyclops. I was gonna say, maybe his powers don't affect the people who didn't, you know, don't live on Battleworld, but he killed Cyclops with ease, so.
But then he also killed, Doctor Strange as well, right?
Yeah, but he could also kill Thanos then. Thanos doesn't have the Infinity Gauntlet, he's not-
And even if he did, it would only work in that one region.
Well, I'm trying to think, cause I'm like, in the Infinity Gauntlet book, then they kinda like, tease something about it working
elsewhere. I really doubt that Thanos is somehow gonna, or someone's gonna get the Infinity Gauntlet based on a random Secret Wars tie-in with no main characters. I don't think that's gonna happen. Maybe Thanos will get the Abundant Glove.
That'd be awesome. With two dance gems.
Mm-hmm. Hey, you could destroy a world with it.
But I absolutely, like, as far as contenders for Book of the Week, this is definitely one of them. It was a really good story, but to me, what takeaway was that foreshadowing of Thanos leading an army and overtaking the Shield again.
I really like this book.
Now, here's what I wonder on the 20 days as well. Is this 20 days within this one book, or is this 20 days with, like, real world 20 days that in 20 days we're getting the next issue of Secret Wars.
20 days comic book time, whatever that is.
It's 20 days within this book.
Okay. Never know. Okay, my bad. All right, next book. Inhuman Attilan Rising, writer Charles Soule, art by John Timms.
This was Black Bolt's team of freedom fighters to New Mars. They try to deliver medical supplies to the neighboring Civil War domain. And the reason why they're attempting to do this is to secure a commitment of troops for a later siege of Doom's court. That's the end game in all this.
Why? We've got a lot of people who are planning to overthrow Doom.
Well, at first it was just all the supervillains like Red Skull, and then I think there was another villain that was also looking to overthrow.
It was Mr. Sinister.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, in that Captain Britain book.
Maestro also.
That's the one I was thinking of. Thank you, Marvel.
Yeah. Didn't they pretty much reveal that Doom knows absolutely everything that's going on?
No, they claim that he is omnipotent, but not omniscient.
But when She-Hulk was saying like, oh yeah, I agree with you guys, Doom is suddenly talking to her.
I think what happened with that is because she is one of the Thors.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I think it's some sort of magic thing where he's able to, but then again, that doesn't make any sense either because all these other people that are, remember the book with, the Squadron Supreme,
mm-hmm.
where the Thor got killed?
Oh yeah.
You know?
Doom doesn't know, yeah.
So maybe we found our first inconsistency.
Oh no. You know what? I found out what it was. Ooh. They explained it in that book.
Nice. Okay, what is it?
The Iron Man guy, the guy who was Iron Man in that book.
Okay.
Doom says specifically that he had something in his suit that allowed him to listen in.
Oh, you're right. Right.
Awesome. Okay. Thank you, Marvel.
Yep.
All right, good. So no inconsistencies, though.
No. Like I said, in this book, the arrival was preempted by Medusa's forces. They opened fire. You know, they shoot first, ask questions later.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, back in the quiet room, Matt Murdock and, the other guys, they face off against their own handful of Medusa's agents.
Correct.
And they're using Kamala Khan as hostage. So they failed to escape. They were beaten to a pulp. A whole bunch of inhuman violence. Black Agar, Black Bolt, he gave himself up in exchange for freeing his companions, but Medusa's forces basically won at the end. So
Medusa's a heel.
Yeah. So I don't know what's going to happen in the next issue, but it looks futile. I don't know what's – I don't know.
Well, that's why we read the next issue.
Yeah, I don't even know how they get out of this. Something.
Surely they will – how are the boys going to get out of
this one? Yeah. Well, they may not. Like I said, these stories are out of continuity, so they very well just may all die. It's not super important.
Depressing.
It's fine. It's not really an incontinuity story, so you can get away with a bummer ending.
Okay.
All right,
we'll see.
Our next book, let me pull it up here, is Moon Knight 17, writer Cullen Bunn, art by Ron Atkins.
Khonshu is not a heel.
No.
Okay, I did some research on this because I was a little bothered by the reason why Khonshu seems to have like this weird attitude change all the time. You know, like sometimes he's like, oh, I'm going to betray you and I'm going to find another person who's going to, you know, be the host for or Khonshu or something.
Yeah, the Moon Knight.
It kind of like changes from issue to issue. Remember, one of the issues beforehand, then they mentioned about how he had a church of Khonshu and that, you know, they were a cult and they were all sacrificing. And this one, they were sacrificing people, but Khonshu was helping him save people.
Yeah,
exactly.
And somebody met, I was doing some looking up, and somebody came up with a pretty good theory.
Okay, I'm curious now.
His attitude changing is like the phases of the moon.
That's awesome, Marvel.
But that would mean he would be changing constantly, and he's never really done this before.
I don't know why he would be changing constantly now, but there was some imagery in some apparently in most of these books where they show the moon at different phases.
That would be interesting, but I'm still going with it's something else. Pretending to be Khonshu.
But we had some finality in this issue. That's why I'm thinking it may not be anything.
Really. The problems would still be going on, but it ended with like Khonshu walking away with Moon Knight and being like, don't worry, buddy, I'll take care of you. But
apparently Moon Knight has a sister. The sister was running this cult.
Yes.
No, that wasn't really his sister.
I know, but they mentioned that. It was Moon Knight's quote-unquote sister.
Yeah, but also his wife. That wasn't real. She was lying. Because she even then said, you know, why can't your God and my God work together?
I think what it is that it's somebody brought this up too. Not really his sister or, you know, brother, but if she's calling Moon Knight her concurrent brother and husband and talking about royal intermarriage like the Egyptian pharaohs on which this new religion is
based. So maybe it's a competing Egyptian god. The Egyptians had 8 million freaking gods.
Or it could be just, you know, people who followed Khonshu and then eventually they took their own interpretation on their falling
people
of Khonshu.
People are probably getting the sense we haven't actually talked about the plot of this. We're just talking about what the ending meant.
Well, that's what a lot of this plot was, which is people that thought they were following Khonshu and doing all these things in the name of Khonshu.
But let me put over the art in this book for being incredibly creepy.
Yeah,
they had
that.
So basically, Moon Knight has got himself disguised as a homeless person, and he walks into a place where they're bringing all these homeless people, and then they're talking to him, and they're like handing out these pre-made, you know, begging signs.
Yeah,
and they're make sure you bring all the money back here. And then he walks to another room, and they're handing out weapons. So those people are going to go mug and murder people, and they're like, oh, make sure you bring it back here.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, oh, but we have something different for you.
We have something
and they
very
bring
special
him,
for you, yeah.
Yeah, they bring him down to the bowels where they're sacrificing people. However, when they show these guys, they all had these creepy fucking smiles.
Yeah, that was
And the artist kept choosing to do panels where you just saw their creepy-ass smiles.
Yeah.
It was so creepy. And really, really well done.
But then we had the opposite. When they showed Moon Knight, he had taken care of that priestess. All of a sudden, their smiles just went away, and they started frowning.
Yeah, well, because she had assumed. Yeah, he goes into the bowels and he meets this priestess, and she had assumed she had Khonshu's blessing, so she was going to beat him in the fight. But Khonshu actually helped out Moon Knight, so Moon Knight beat her and then lit the fucking building on fire.
We don't know if he killed her or not.
Well, he told her to run and then lit the building on fire. He didn't help her out. He gave her a chance.
Yeah, but, you know, she might be dead, but...
Yeah, but you're not knowing what's going on, and then he ends up, you know, since Khonshu helped him, he ends up walking away with, you know, ghostly Khonshu figure.
Mm-hmm.
Who has apparently helped him. But we're not sure. Colin Bunn has done an amazing job with this book.
Yeah. And who would have thought when it finally got to him, there was that one issue like, yeah, it was good, but there because there wasn't a lot of text, and it's like we thought that was kind of a gimmicky issue, and then I think the issue after I didn't much care for. But we kept with it, we stuck with it, and these last couple of issues have been absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, well, it's got a storyline. You know, and the storyline's interesting because you want to find out what exactly is going on.
I'm hoping this is one of the books that doesn't go away, because when we did our previews for books for all new, all different Marvel post Secret
Wars, I think the storyline's going to finish.
It's fine if the storyline finishes. I just don't want this book to go away is what I'm saying.
No, I don't either because I really enjoy it, but I have a feeling it is.
Yeah,
going
I wouldn't
away.
Be surprised either, but oh, so, well. Oh, well.
Yeah, it's sad, but yeah, this is a good issue.
Leave the memories alone.
Moon Knight always comes back, dude.
Yes. All right. Next book, Silver Surfer 13, writer Dan Slott, art by Mike Allred. Or as
this
a comic
the, last.
Go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, this was the last day's tie-in.
Cool.
Oh, actually, technically, doesn't this? Well, no.
This takes place post last days. But
yeah.
Not really in Battle World yet.
Early days of Battle World. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, Dawn and Silver Surfer, so this was like an overview of the entire series so far. You know, they've kissed now and they're apparently together.
Aww.
Yeah.
And, he's like, but what do we do? Do you want me to take you back to Earth still? And she's like, well, yeah, but let's make stops along the way. Let's visit all the people we've interacted with.
Correct.
So they do. All the locations they went to in the run of this series, they go back to and they talk to the people and they see how things are currently going. We see literally everyone, even the destroyed weird space city. They even went to what was left of that. And then
they went to visit the Never Queen, which she embodies all possibility, but she's all but faded away.
Yeah, and she warns him that everything she said there's nothing left, which means there's no possibility, there's no future.
The final incursion was happening, and the universe is destroyed, and she's begged him to run. So he's trying to avoid it by surfing back in time. While fleeing, Dawn sees another version of herself and the Silver Surfer.
From the future.
And the other Dawn helps them escape through a tear in the fabric of reality.
She tells him, she tells her everything's gonna work out. Just tell him to look to the right. And when he looks to the right, he sees the tear and goes through it. But then they show the future Dawn and Surfer, and she's like, you know, I feel really bad about lying to myself.
She's like, I don't like lying, period, especially to myself.
Yeah, and she's like crying, and she's like, because I told her everything was going to be fine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we're done with that, and then he's in a...
They're in a white area.
They're in limbo, basically. But he sees there's two guys there.
It's Glorian, the Maker of Miracles, and his lowly assistant Z.
Yeah, and we'll get to the reveal at the end. But first, he sees Eternity. But Eternity is normally, you know, he's got stars all in him and all the different planets because you know he's Eternity. He's the what he is. But there's nothing there. He says he just sees one shitty little world in him, which is Battle World, and when Eternity turns around, he's got Doom's mask.
Ooh.
And he's talking to him like he's Doom. And they realize that Doom has, they basically told him what Battle World is. You know, Doom's cobbled everything together, but because that's all there is of Eternity and it's all made up of Doom, Eternity now looks like Doom. Because he is the only power left. But they're like, the guy's telling him like, oh, don't worry, you got the power cosmic and you can reshape matter. So we'll be able to recreate the entire universe. And he's like, well, how can I reshape matter when there's nothing here? He's like, oh, what are you talking about? Look down. And then they zoom out really far and the shaper, they're standing on top of the Shaper of Worlds, who is a old character who I'm not entirely familiar with. I don't know if Marvel did any research on this.
No, I didn't.
Okay, well, he is an old character who, as I said, I'm not familiar with. But given he's called the Shaper of Worlds, All we know about this is he's really big.
Yeah. So I'm like, are they going to remake the world post Secret Wars or?
I don't know.
I don't think so.
I don't think so. That seems like a big job to give to.
Yeah.
To Silver Surfer and Dawn. But, you know, something's gonna happen.
I'm interested.
Yeah, it was a good issue.
Good issue. No, this book is always good.
Yeah.
Alright, our next book, Where Monsters Dwell, number 3, writer Garth Ennis, art Russell Braun.
Well, we found out why she wouldn't sleep with him. She's a lesbian. And because she's a lesbian, she is very happy on this island of Amazons.
You know, I was
Marvel, is there something wrong?
This book has been upset. This book is upsetting people.
Marvel, just what? For a second. Guys, just for a second. Marvel, is there something wrong with your setup? Because I'm getting it kind of like a hiss or a noise or a rustling about.
That's the fan.
Oh, okay. Can you just for the rest of our reviews, can you just turn it off for a second? Because I'm getting kind of a rustling noise. Sorry about that.
Why is this book upsetting people?
Okay, well, basically, I'm not saying it's a lot of people, but I've been reading some backlash on this book. Because the book is, you know, it's a satire.
Yeah.
More or less, you know? And some people are saying that it's gone from satire to a, it's like an extremist feminist fanfic book.
I'm not getting that.
But it's not, because the women aren't presented as the heroes.
Yeah, that's
like, I know, that's what I'm saying. He said, from what I've been reading from some people, if the gender roles were reversed and the same story was told, you would not hear the end of it. But because it's a man and a woman, nobody says anything.
Well, because if it was women, then it would be a story about forced rape of women.
But they're forcing the rape of the men.
But they're not. They're apparently not even having sex with them. They're like milking them for sperm.
But then they're also not presented as, you know, as the protagonist. They're obviously, you know, they're victimizing these men, and they're not supposed to be looked upon favorably.
If the main character is the guy,
mm-hmm.
then they are the villains.
Yes.
Because they assumed he was the woman's slave,
mm-hmm.
because that's the only way they know of men. But they also justified the way they feel about men, because all the men who have arrived on this island, they arrive on an island of hot chicks and, you know, cave woman bikinis, and they just assume, oh, well, you know what this means, and then they kill them. Because they're there to either steal their shit or, you know, rape them.
Yeah, but still, I think it's like, this book is the only time where I felt this book's come off kind of mean. It's like, yeah, all these men are kind of jerks, but they don't deserve this.
No, they didn't, and that was the point. Basically, there were two other men on the island aside from him, and they keep them locked in a cage for their seed, they said,
mm-hmm.
so that they can impregnate the other women. And keep, by the way, what do they do when they have a boy?
Kill him, I imagine.
That's what I imagine as well, yeah.
We didn't get into that. So, yeah, they just had two men who were all, I mean, it was Garth Ennis humor. One of them's laying down on the ground. He's just going swollen, swollen. And they're going to do the same thing to him. And then in the end, because they have a plane there, a plane that crashed through, a tree, but he's coming up with the plans with her of like, hey, you know, I can get the fuel out of that and I can take the propeller off and then I can go fix our plane and we can get out. But the chick he's with is like, I don't want to leave. This place is paradise if you're a woman.
Yeah.
And
I'm not one of these people who has a problem with it, but there was people that I've read online that like I said, they liked it at first, but they said it's become too mean-spirited, and it's an extremist feminist fanfic.
See, I'm not
it's
with
not
them
how
as far
as Garth Ennis writes. That's not what it is. It's making fun.
Yeah, I'm there. I don't think it's an extremist like feminist fantasy, whatever. But I do think even for like Garth Ennis, this is really mean-spirited. This is almost to the degree where it's like, oh, this is almost not fun.
Have you not read Preacher?
Yes. No.
I mean, you read war stories with me. They've told horrific stories in that.
Yeah, but it's also different presented kind of way. And you know what? There are moments in war stories where it's...
The guy was rolling around crying about his swollen balls because they've made him jerk off too much.
I know.
It's a joke. It's humorous. In the end, they take him and he thinks they're going to execute him. And then he looks at the thing and he's like, I don't think it's going to fit there. And she's like, yeah, they might need one smaller. And then they show it and they're clearly going to cut his dick off.
Correct.
Yeah.
That's but that's a joke. It's humor.
Yeah, but it's mean humor.
It's not meant to be. Well, but you have to have a villain.
Yeah, but it's too over the top.
The whole thing's been over the top. He was flying around in a biplane fighting dinosaurs an issue ago.
Yeah, but
that's what the whole thing has been. He's gonna get away in the end.
I know, but still, even for this story, this whole thing with the Amazonian women and the men, like, it really comes off like,
but
that's almost no fun.
What he's going for, though. It's a story that takes place in like the early 1940s, and
no, it's like, I think it was like the 1920s. I think.
Oh, was he in World War One? Okay.
Yeah, he was in World War One. Yeah, they mentioned the year.
Well, okay. Well, it's in the early 1920s, and the island of warrior women was that was a trope. Like, that was a thing that was dealt with in old stories. It was semi-common. It was almost a cliche.
I know, but I'm just telling you that's my perception of this story.
Marvel, what do you think? Do you think it was mean?
I've read Preacher, so I kind of
yeah. I know what the guy writes. I didn't think it was mean. He's continuing along with it. The guy's gonna escape, and the woman's probably gonna get hers.
That's good.
We'll see.
Well, cause so that's another thing. So far, they presented at the first two issues. They presented him like he's this a hole.
He still is.
And so far, everything up until this specific issue, he got everything that he had coming toward her, and you kind of you saw things from the woman's point of view. You're like,
oh
yeah.
That was the point of this issue. It's he's a giant dick, but what they're doing here is wrong. He has done nothing to deserve this.
Yeah, he's not a nice person. He obviously, he deserves something bad to happen. And when all the stuff was happening with him and the dinosaurs, like that was sort of his comeuppance. But even now, this is sort of extreme.
Well, we don't know if he's actually
and the person who you liked in this book, the female, in the first two issues, she comes off as completely unlikable.
Yeah, it was her heel turn.
All right. Are we spending way too much time on this book?
It's fine. I like the first two.
Okay,
issues.
Let's move on. Come on.
Okay. Well, okay. So, hey, since you're calling the shots, what do we do next, Marvel?
Dead Drop.
Okay.
Which I didn't read.
Oh,
ooh, you missed out, dude.
Best book so far of the series.
I loved it.
Right before the last book of the series, so that's a good
No, I read online, I don't know if this is true. This was supposed to be four issues, I think it's gonna be five now.
Oh, well maybe the last three will be good.
This is sad because I like the character they chose to focus on, Betamax. He's like this. Is he a cyborg or is he a robot? Because he obviously, he has robot parts, but then he has a skin graft over that metallic skeleton. So I'm not quite sure.
I think I read it was he's a cyborg. He's a cyborg from the 80s during the Cold War, and he's outdated. That's why they call him Betamax. Because he's got a built-in fax machine and everything.
Yeah, he was so happy when he got the fax machine built in. And then when he was trying to send for help. He was contacting that one guy from that agency. Who sends a fax in 2015? It's like, it can't be anybody important. They're sending a fax. And then the secretary comes up to him and he's like, well, in any case, you might want to read it.
In this issue, he gets approached by somebody pretending to be that guy.
Yeah.
It's actually an alien in disguise. And, he uses him and they cloak them because he's using his x-ray powers to find some flash drive that's buried underneath some tree.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure what's in there, but apparently they have a plan, these aliens, to I guess they're gonna colonize the earth, they're gonna infect the people, and it's kind of like what are those things called from the X-Men, what are those aliens called, the one that
oh the Shi'ar
no the that's Phalanx? The Shi'ar the The what?
The Phalanx?
No.
Okay. Those are the bug ones.
The bug ones or whatever.
Oh, the brood.
Yeah, the brood.
There we go.
It's kind of like that. They're going to infect the people and they're going to grow, you know, grow out of them.
But they seem like they sort of have like, they sort of paint them in a way that they're like, we don't have war. We live only for commerce and profit. So we don't necessarily kill each other. But then they're also painted as bad guys in the sense that they seem to kill other planets as well. So it's,
yeah, I was kind like, of, oh, but we're not people. So we don't care. They're going to make their own thing. I'm guessing that's part of that one vial with the disease. I'm guessing that's part of it.
Yeah.
Like I said, at the end of the issue, even though he was captured, he was able to fax the real Neville what's going to happen. Like I said, I read that it's going to be 5 issues now instead of 4, mm-hmm. which I imagine it has to be because I can't imagine them wrapping this up in one issue.
No.
Because the alien thing was just revealed in this issue.
Yeah.
So hopefully 2 more issues. Yeah. Yeah, this was the best issues. The first two were like nothing books. I can't even say they were bad. It was just nothing books.
They were just like chase stories. We got the first one with Exo Manowar, and then we got another one with Archer. And then finally we got, you know, the beginning of what appears to be a pretty good story, but it's going to be ending pretty soon. And you know what? When I first read this, I'm like, did I get the right book? Because it's like Dead Drop. And it's like, I remember reading this, but this reads completely different than the previous 2 issues. And I absolutely love this issue. I mean, if anything, I want a Betamax book out of this.
He was a star of this book for sure.
Yeah, I absolutely love Betamax. And if we don't get a Betamax book coming out of this, I'm going to be very disappointed.
Valiant's pretty good about launching new titles.
Okay. And let's wrap up this week's books with Book of Death number 1, writer Robert Venditti, art by Robert Gill.
Hey, Valiant does another really good crossover.
Yes.
Good for them. This follows up on what we saw in...
The last crossover,
with it focuses on the new Geomancer, the one from the future.
Mm-hmm.
However, in a bit of storyline consistency, she was from the future, but the old Geomancer died. And when the old Geomancer died, a new one is born.
Mm-hmm.
So since Eternal Warrior is watching over this new one, that means what happened to the other new Geomancer? Well, apparently the other Geomancer was picked up by a mysterious bad guy who is training him to be an evil Geomancer.
Correct.
Which is a great plot.
I wonder if it's the same eternal evil or the eternal enemy.
Probably not because it invalidates the entire storyline they just did.
And the whole point of that evil is supposed to exclusively kill the Geomancer. So I don't see why
but if he's corrupting the one for his whim, I don't know. It may not be him, but
it could be, but I just think that'd be kind of a downer because that story just ended. And this, by the way, even more so than the Valiant, this included every fucking character in the Valiant universe. They had all the guys from Imperium, like the good guys and the bad guys. They had every minor character showcased in one way or another, even if it was just a panel showing something. They had fucking everything in here, and it revealed my weakness on some of the Valiant stuff because I didn't know who some of these fuckers were. The main ones I knew.
Some of them, yeah, were in fact characters I had no idea.
Yeah, not a lot, but I mean, you know, the ones they focused on, I knew who all of them were. So there's a problem. In like the first couple pages of the book, we see a mom looking for a kid, mm-hmm. and she goes outside, and the kid's got rats and frogs and snakes crawling all over him. And he's like, Mom, I can hear them talking. They're my friends.
And they're nice to him. They're not cruel to him.
Yeah,
so.
But that indicates something was off from the start.
Exactly.
Because these are not, you know, traditionally good animals.
And here's the thing. They throw in that caveat at the beginning. She was looking for her son because they were going to church. Which means there's something supernatural to it, obviously. But just that little thing they threw in before.
They painted this character as the Antichrist, more or less.
Yeah.
Sort of, yeah. But the kid they didn't indicate was evil. It was just he's being led that way.
Yeah.
So, you know, because normally it would be Eternal Warrior is the one taking care of the Geomancer, but somebody else got to him first because he was busy.
With the Geomancer from the future.
Yeah, after we get done with that, they cut to a page of basically people speared to death by trees.
Ooh, yeah.
It's an amazing two-page spread.
You see these cops come in, they're like, oh, I hope it's not that thing again. And then they look at it, and they're like, oh, my God. And then they cut to it, and it's just giant spread of all these people just impaled by tree branches.
Yeah, but who would be able to do that? The Geomancer. So correct. They assume it's the Geomancer, and the only one they know of is the one Eternal Warrior has.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah. They get Unity to go after him. But specifically, they send in Exo Manowar first because he has more of a connection with him because Eternal Warrior apparently trained him. I imagine when he was still, you know, Visigoth guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't read his... Exo Manowar is the book I keep meaning to read.
But it's one of those books, too, where it's just so much has happened, and it's like you don't know where to pick it up to.
Yeah, well, I want to go to the start and read that one because people really like it.
Yeah,
I want to go to the start and read it.
I bought the gimmick where they did the 99 cent for issue one, but I never got around to reading it because I'm just like, well, even if I like it, there's going to be so much I have to catch up on, yeah. So I don't know if I'm even going to bother.
Yeah, I will eventually because the Valiant stuff is fantastic. But he goes to talk to him, and he's basically telling him, you know, oh, by the way, Ninjak doesn't believe she's from the future.
Yeah, and I told Lural this. I'm like, why wouldn't he not believe that when they're in a world where they have geomancers and...
Ivar, who he has fought with?
Yes.
Maybe he doesn't believe he's from the future either. Ninjak, despite all this weird shit, you know, working with a Visigoth who was taken to an alien planet and stole a suit of armor, fancy armor... does not believe in time travel. That's too ridiculous.
Yes.
You know, and he knows multiple immortals, but whatever. So, God, that's so dumb.
The big thing also was from this book was, the girl, Geomancer from the future. She's able to read a special book that only she can read that gives, them insight into the future of the Valiant world.
Correct.
Well, focusing around the Geomancers though.
Yeah, this is where we get all the explanation of this Geomancer that was evil and trying to take over the world and blah blah blah, and that's what
and how he ruined everything and the entire world was shit, and even in the future when they've kind of fought it off, the world is still shit.
Mm-hmm.
Which ties into the world in Rye, actually.
Awesome.
Huh? Because Earth is all shitty in Rye.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't know if that's actually a thing, but
it'd be cool if it was.
There, it would, and they've connected Rye in a couple ways before. But remember when Rye comes back, Eternal Warriors guest star.
Nice.
Because he's on Earth. Yeah, so he's got her reading this book, so they could try to find something out, and that led to some incredible pages of art of, you know, what was left of the Valiant Heroes trying to fight against this and failing horribly and all dying. But Exo Manowar basically told him when he left, he's like, next time I come, I ain't coming to talk. And then, you know, they did some posturing where he's like, you know, I taught you everything you know, but I didn't teach you everything I know.
Nice.
It's like, all right, hit him with your axe while he's shooting you with fucking lasers, but you know, whatever. And we got cuts to the new Geomancer, the little boy with, we couldn't see it, but he had the black creepy text boxes.
Yes.
Very, so we know he's evil. Very, very reminiscent of that one evil guy.
Yeah. And he tried to kill him because he sent, scorpions and ants and because he could watch them through, the bugs. Right. There were ants crawling on her pillow, and he could see her through that. That's how he found her. So we've got a big evil that's going to fuck everything up, and then the one who can theoretically stop it, they're trying to capture her. The heroes are trying to capture her.
Because they think it's going to be her.
The table. Yeah, because they think it's her.
They don't know about the second Geomancer.
The event, Lero, it's a four-issue mini. But they also have four other one shot.
Yeah, we're getting one next week.
Yeah. So yeah. it'll be eight issues in total with the four specials.
Awesome. Which I'm
very happy about. Did we miss anything?
Nope, that's it.
I think that was
that's
it.
That's it.
This is really good. Valiant just does an incredible first issue of a crossover.
Yeah, they do.
And if it's anything like Valiant, it'll have kind of a disappointing last issue.
I didn't think it was I didn't think the last issue of the Valiant was disappointing.
It kind of was. They finished it, but it was disappointing because that's when it became apparent the entire thing was just to push a Bloodshot book. Maybe the end of this will push a Betamax book.
Awesome. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. We love that, that Bloodshot book. So it wasn't all in vain. All right. Let's.
No. I didn't think it was bad. I just thought, you know, you got this big epic story and then the last issue is all about Bloodshot getting his
own. The big epic story still continued anyway. So it didn't matter.
Yeah. So it's, yeah, you're fair enough.
All right. Let's go on to our next segment, Book of the Week. Everything is awesome.
Great feeling all time I had all my life.
Okay, gentlemen, your picks for Book of the Week.
Hands down, Book of Death.
Book of Death.
Wow, okay. For me, it wasn't as obvious. There were so many things I liked. I really liked Astro City. I really liked, what else did I really like? I liked Moon Knight, and I liked the way Siege ended. But as far as for me, my Book of the Week, I'm gonna go different. I really liked Book of Death, not nearly as much as you guys. For me, my Book of the Week is probably going to be Ant-Man Annual. Love that book. Not in a long time have I laughed so much at a book.
I never give funny books Book of the Week.
No, I rarely do. And usually when it's a funny book, we don't continue reading. But I love, like, this book was funny, but then also kind of had some heart to it. So that's why I'm going to pick it for Book of the Week.
That's fine. It was a good book.
All right, let's go with our last and final segment, next week's books. Okay, me and Laurel cheated a little bit, but we didn't make a list because we've done this before where I think me and Marvel made a list ahead of time and it just made for bad radio. I went back and listened to it and I'm like, it kind of doesn't come off or it's organic. So we skimmed through this next week's books and it is a very light week, but we're going to list off right now exactly what we're reading.
Me and Marvel skimmed through them too, by the way.
Okay. Yeah.
Justice League 3001, number two. Prez. Number two.
Oh, by the way, Prez is in danger.
What?
Already?
Yeah.
On the second issue?
Yeah. The second issue, the first, they were already supposed to be by issue five by now. And apparently the first issue didn't sell well.
Oh.
And it says of 12, it's not of 12 anymore.
Oh.
It's actually of 6 now, I believe.
That's sad.
Well, I told you this is going to happen with a lot of the DC books, but it figures it happened with something I liked. Oh, well, it didn't have much of a chance anyway.
Okay.
Well, Prez number two, and apparently we'll be done reading that soon.
if at all, because that might just get canned.
They usually let stuff finish, at least. We are going to try, because it's a light week, Wolf number one.
Okay, Wolf.
From Image.
Wolf.
We are trying that. All new Hawkeye, number four.
Alrighty.
E for Extinction, number two.
Ooh, I really like that first one, so.
Mm. Future Imperfect, number three.
Yes. So spoiled. So spoiled.
Kanan, the Last Padawan, number four.
Ooh. That's a sleeper for as far as one of my favorite Star Wars books.
Like that book a lot. Loki, Agent of Asgard, number 16.
Gotta emphasize the ass in Asgard.
Asgard.
Considering the way the last issue ended, I'm very much looking forward to next week's Loki.
Are you reading Magneto?
I gave up on that.
Yeah, even I. Like, I read the last two last days of Magneto.
going to Secret Wars, and even I'm tapping out.
Very excited to read Marvel Zombies number 2.
That was a very good book.
Yeah, the book that Marvel refused to read with us. Not as excited to read Old Man Logan number 3 after the shitty last issue.
Continue.
But I bet the art's good. Punisher number 20.
Is this
the last issue.
Aww.
The last day. Parental advisory.
Keep it coming.
Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde. We're not reading it, but I just wanted to again point out Uncanny X-Men 35. Not a last days tie-in.
It's just a lame duck book.
It's a story about magic.
Hey, speaking of Star-Lord and Kitty Pryde, you didn't happen to flip through those October solicitations, did you, Laura?
Nope. I don't like them because it's spoilers.
Oh, okay. Then we won't go into it then because I don't want to spoil it for you. But
Weird World, number 2, which was supposed to be on like issue 8 by now.
Okay, here's the thing about Weird World. I'm going to read it this week because it's such a light week. But in any other case, this probably would have been a lightning round.
Maybe it'll be good.
Yeah, in fact, I was about to speak up right now. I'm like, dude, lightning round. But then I thought about how light it is.
Well, you haven't read it yet, so that would be...
Yeah, but I much care for the first one. And I don't know if Marvel, are you going to read Weird World number 2?
It's a light week.
It's also probably continuing after Secret War, so... Book of Death, Fall of Bloodshot, number 1. Ivar Timewalker, number 7.
Yeah, Book of Week, calling it now.
You know, it's part 3 of like a 6-part story.
It's always good.
That's it. That's everything.
Oh, that's not that bad then. Let's see how many books we got here. Marvel, did you do the thing concert with us, or am I the only one writing it this week?
Let's see. You're the only one writing
it. Okay, I got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 books.
That's more than this week, so.
Well, I'm not reading like a few of those.
Yeah, he's not reading like 3 or 4 of them.
But still, 16, 17 books, that's all things considered, I think last week
for
we
Secret
had-
Secret Wars, it's low.
Yeah, and considering I think last week we had like 26 books, or I read 26 books, this is a walk in the park.
I read 23, yeah, everything was bad after, or everything's good compared to last week.
Alright, with that all the way, that's going to do it for this week's show. So from all of us at halfguarded.com, thanks for checking out the show. And as always, see you guys next week. Adios.